once was a true love of mine.
Marvellous. Emma, you have a question over the telephone. It is that telephone number, and Emma is now going off to actually try and use another telephone to actually reach Phil Leonis in California, because currently we're simply getting, sorry, there is a fault. Sorry, there is a fault. She's very irritating, really, and shouldn't really occur when it's 23 minutes to 7 here on the Midweek Drive. Moving onwards, Eleanor, we were talking, yes, obviously, with Andy in the first part of the programme about various other things. You're thinking of postgraduate study. Something that fills you with passion, or do you any particular areas you want to actually sort of focus on for your postgraduate work?
Well, I'm hoping to do English studies as a master's degree and then potentially do a PhD if I can find the money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm kind of just doing it mainly because I have a bit of a passion for English, and I've recently decided to try and get into lecturing.
Really?
Which is very exciting.
My word.
And yeah, I know, over the past few months, up until now, I've
imparting
had
knowledge
no idea
to other sort of human beings.
I know. But yeah, up until now, I've sort of had no idea of what I wanted to do with my life. And over the past month, it's just had a big revelation. I'm also going to go abroad and teach over summer.
Which particular country?
Either Thailand or France. Bit of a big difference.
Andy, of course, we've talked together. We've shared teaching duties.
Yeah, indeed,
and various,
yes,
other bits and pieces for the Level 1 Public Relations Fine Folk, Communications and Society. Your thoughts of advice for the suggested pathway there?
Go for it, if you like people. if you're knowledgeable and you love imparting knowledge, which is one of the pleasures of life, absolutely go for it. You might want to narrow down your field slightly to be just a little bit more specific than just like the English language, because there's a fair few words. I have some friends who are recently back from Thailand. They say it's fantastic. It's very expensive going there, but once you get there, it's really, really cheap and really cheerful, and everybody's really, really friendly. France, I hear not so many good things about. But again, casual xenophobia, that's the watchword of the day.
Right. Emma, you have returned, which is wonderful. Give me a thumbs up, which is great. Is he online?
He is online.
Right.
He's there.
Right. I was hoping you would transfer the call through to us here.
That's, I don't know how to do that.
In
Sorry.
Which case, that's all right. We'll try and reach him after this. Well, the good news is Phil Leonis is alive and well. The more challenging news is our telephoning system has temporarily decided to actually give up the ghost in various other ways. Shall we try him live on air and see if he's sort of there?
Yeah, let's try
him. I mean, we can't even leave a message at this particular stage.
The show isn't the show without Phil.
It is not the show without Phil Leonis at all, really. So I tell you what, would you like to... I'll give you the magic sort of thing there. You've got the telephone number in hand. Let's see if you can actually dial him and see if we can actually get this through. This is very exciting.
It's
the first time Emma's actually, could say, transfer it through. We would have transferred it through from the reception area to the studio, but again, even that seems to be causing a slight challenge. Never mind, life continues in its own merry little way. We could, of course, speak a little bit more about your book, Christy. It could be also a whole routine, which I know Phyllis is keen to actually work through, and I'd also have to give a plug to the wonderful work of chillpackhollywood.com as things coming through. How are we doing, Emma? Is it still any sound whatsoever?
Dead.
The line is dead. The
so
line
sad.
Has ceased to be. It has failed in that sort of sense. Shall we try it more time now? I just pressed a couple of buttons here. Of course, this is when you need international rescue to actually work through that. Give it one last go. Dial 9. Put the whole thing through. What can we say, Eleanor? I mean, I realise you've come here specifically to listen to Phil.
I imagine him just sat there crying that he hasn't got a phone call yet, thinking we've forgotten him.
No, well, I've spoken to him. He's there. I have alerted him to the fact that we have telephonic challenges online. Emma, you've done the same.
No, it's done it again.
And it still sort of says, does it say there is a fault?
Yeah.
There is a fault.
It says that it's not recognising it.
It's not recognising it.
So sad.
Aww. There's a fault, but it's not our
terrible.
Fault.
Yeah.
Would you like to try Anna Lewis then? We'll see Anna if she's actually there. She's also on that sort of list there. Second one down. Let's see if we can connect with her. Let's see if we can go to Jersey as opposed to Los Angeles. What can we say?
We can maybe try Phil later.
There isn't a lot of time left, Eleanor. That's all I can say.
Anyway, can we extend the show? It's case, not the same without
it's,
him.
It's the 077. So the number that starts 077. It isn't the same. You know, and this is what you call filling, Andy.
Yes,
is
the sort of
classic I feel like we should be playing the final countdown right now.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I feel like that.
That's a bit drastic, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's
Europe at this
suitable.
Particular stage.
The second most overplayed song there has ever been after Journeys Don't Stop Believing.
Journeys Don't Stop Believing is just...
The most overplayed song there's ever been.
After,
yes,
after
it was good
Glee,
until Glee.
It was good until Glee, and then...
Good. Good. Well done.
Never mind. Okay, so how's it going, Emma? So you can hear the buttons being pressed at this particular moment in time. Are we getting any particular signal there? Oh, it was...
Filling. Sending us a text. It's ringing.
Yes, yes, right. Oh, we are. That's very good. We might just get an answer phone on that particular aspect, etc. And Andrea Ferguson,
hello,
we salute you,
Lewis?
Which is very good. We're going to put a live on air. In fact, we're going on that. She's done very well. It's too late now. I've put her on air. Anna, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Hello.
We've been having all sorts of fun today. And can we get through to Los Angeles for some bizarre reason? No. But have you got off the bus?
I have. I'm standing outside the St Helier Parish Hall where I'm due to go to a meeting quite soon. So, yes.
And what, pray tell, will that meeting be about?
It's nothing. It's the usual kind of St Helier Parish meeting where people have a gripe about things and moan about things and someone takes notes and minutes and then they gripe about things a bit more, really.
Sounds to me like democracy in action. It really does.
Oh, it's very... Jersey's so democratic, it sucks. Yeah.
No, you did your postgraduate work at the University of Kent at Canterbury, I believe.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't, actually. That's a different university. I did mine at Christchurch.
Oh, well, there we are, then. Christchurch, you see, it's very confusing, and that could be in New Zealand. As we found out, when we weren't talking about your bar skills, Andy, we were talking about some of the other sort of key aspects you'd done. Of course, you did philosophy up in St Andrews, or was it Stirling?
No, it was Aberdeen.
It was Aberdeen.
It was indeed in Scotland, however. Yes, but I studied English literature and philosophy up there.
Are you in a train station at present, Anna? Because
I wish I was a complete idiot who's just gone past me on a moped. We don't have MOTs in Jersey, which doesn't help. You end up with people with cars that are about 200 years old.
On the plus factor, at least he didn't run you over, so that's very good.
Well, this is true. Well, I'm on the pavement, so if he did run me over, he'd be in dead trouble.
Yeah, you'd be very worried then.
And that's the kind of uniqueness. Anyway, I was going to say, Anna, have you got any quick questions you want to put to Andy Kerr, who is currently about to conclude? I mean, the PhD's been awarded now, hasn't it?
Still in the process. We'll get there. Okay. 2015 is my year.
Well, there we are. Right, so from that point of view, any questions you'd like to put to Andy Kerr about life, the universe, and indeed comic books of the First World War?
Oh, First World War. Oh, yes. There's lots of exciting things happening at the Imperial War Museum. Is that part of the research that Andy's doing?
It's not directly part of the research, but we have visited regularly, and I believe some of the members of the wider team on the Everyday Lives Centre and other AHRC projects are in contact with the Imperial War Museum.
I was
down at their exhibition recently where they built a real-life trench to scale, and it's absolutely terrifying. It's an incredible...
Watch out for the motorbike!
Sounds like a Spitfire going
I'm
around
so
the...
I'm so sorry, it's so noisy, it's unbelievable. This isn't even a Saturday night.
You know, you structure a show, you put everything into place, you get all the ingredients sorted through, and then suddenly you get Spitfires on Saturday night on a Wednesday night in Jersey. It's astounding. We're going to try fill this one more time. Christy, last two questions for Anna Lewis, please, before she goes into this public meeting.
Have you had a reasonably wonderful telephone link with us today?
Absolutely, thank you. Thanks for your
patience.
Watch
out for that cyclist!
And if you do not get hit by a motorcyclist, will you be joining us next week?
Yeah, I would love to. Christy
falling off the chair, Anna in danger of a life. It's just jeopardy, all is
again.
Jeopardy. Unbelievable.
Oh dear. We'll be right back.
we go to the chorus? No, Philinus is there. Yay!
Yay!
What was the image you actually had, Eleanor? Phil as Mr. Fantastic from The Incredibles.
Running across the ocean to get to the studio. With this music in the background.
He is a truth seeker. He is an Academy Award commentator. He is an all-round one. Phil Leonis, welcome to the programme. How are you, sir?
I'm here just in time to pick a number between 1 and 22.
Now, Phil, we're going to give you at least 10 or 11 minutes to do it through that. I'll go hard up to the news at 7 for this. So, you know, have you managed to catch any of the programme yourself this evening, sir?
I was here through the news, and then you lost me at the news.
We lost a lot of people, possibly, at the news break. But anyway, up until the news, what sort of delights would you like to sort of provide your wonderful, inimitable director's comments on? As indeed, if you haven't already checked out the chillpackhollywood.com site, which I did, but then was told it wasn't up, and then I got another message saying go to it via another sort of system, and I did, but Chillpack Hollywood is now up now for the Oscar Awards ceremony. Phil, what would you like to say to the assembled team? Of course, Emma, Christy, Eleanor, and Andy.
Well, I first would like to explain why you lost me at the news. It wasn't like that was my intent, especially when I am able to tune in so early, which is usually the challenge for me. But I got up during the news break to go make myself a cup of coffee,
and suddenly heard
many, many other shows beginning from across the interweb, and I came back in to find my cat, Fuzz Aldrin, on top of the tablet, punching at every button and icon imaginable.
And that was what worried me about the news. It annoys cats in California.
Oh, my gosh.
She had opened literally thousands of new tabs.
So please get somebody who can do the pronunciations properly.
Meow, meow, meow. Hang on a second. Did you say that your cat's called Buzz Aldrin?
Fuzz Aldrin.
Oh, that's Fuzz amazing!
It's a great name.
That is Buzz a fantastic name.
Feel free to like Fuzz Aldrin on Facebook, facebook.com.
She has a Twitter page as well, doesn't she?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, both on Facebook and Twitter, she is the Fuzz Aldrin. On Twitter, she's rather specific. She enjoys playing chase and she enjoys reviewing live theater. So those tend to be her main impetus. But I loved what I heard of the show. I loved the historical context discussion of comic books, of what Neil Gaiman brought to the mix of the writing. Tracing the writing of it. It's always been very interesting to me because, and this is something that always like throws heads back, and it would be an interesting discussion maybe in the future as well, apart from the writing, but I have found that only in recent years have comic books even begun to become interesting visually. And you think of them as a visual art form, but they were so flat and so confined within a particular structure for so long that I actually never found them visually compelling, which I think is why so many people thought, oh, well, let's just turn it into a movie. Let's turn it into a movie. And even if we do a bad job at it, at least it'll be more interesting, have more depth to it than the comic book itself. But oftentimes, now comic book movies are more flat visually than their source material.
Andy, thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting you say that. It's something that it's an opinion that actually I share, with a few exceptions from the Golden Age. The art of Jack Kirby, for example, used to regularly break out of the panel borders.
And Steranko. Don't forget Steranko.
Yes, of course, yes. And that added a little bit more length life to it, but then that was about 10, 20 years later.
Neil Adams. Dean Haglund.
Okay. Stop listing names at me. I want to talk about Alan Moore for a bit, because Alan Moore really brought that whole thinking outside the box, thinking about abstract thoughts and the way to lay out stories to comics, again, in the late 80s, the early 90s. His run on Promethea completely upended this idea of splash pages and did away with the need for panels, and you suddenly have a story told over people walking in almost an Escher diagram, which melts the head, which is fantastic, because the whole thing is about imagination and magic and the overlapping levels that he has within that. Or another example, completely off, the other side of the thing was his From Hell, where he solved the case of Jack the Ripper and who the Jack the Ripper was, and the whole thing is laid out like a map of London in a very traditional Victorian fashion, but a little bit very much like a map because of the importance of the geography for that story. So once the writers in particular started working in tandem with the visual artists, and there was this, I very much admire this collaboration between people who are very, very good at the visual element and people who are very, very good at the written element, because there were only very few previous stars who had the skills to do both of those at once.
No matter the medium, the story needs to come out of character, and no matter the medium, the visual representation of it ought to be a reflection of how that character sees the world around them, and that was what was missing, and of course it was missing because, as you point out, they weren't working in concert with each other. And the interesting thing then was you would have movies based on these very visual graphic novels, for example, From Hell, and they would try to a degree to simply recreate the look of the comic pages rather than reinterpret them to breathe life back into them. And so suddenly, visually, these films looked very flat because they were no longer doing their job, which was, okay, right, we have to get back to this question of how does the character see and perceive the world around them. Man. That is always how you need to start when you're depicting something visually.
But may I ask then, if I may, your favorite comic book movie crossover?
Crossover? What do you mean? Well, you know, by crossover?
From the comic book
adaptation,
world, adaptation. Better word. Adaptation. Favorite comic book and movie form.
Well, you know, this is the problem, and it's very true with novels as well. That I tend to believe that, you know, great works in one medium don't necessarily make great works in another medium.
You haven't answered the question Phil.
Well, my favorite graphic novel series, for example, are the Hellblazer comics. I loved that character. I loved the world that was created, and they are among the worst adaptations that have ever been done.
John Constantine, so worry not.
No, he's already been on TV and already been canceled. So that
Keanu Reeves should never be cast as anything but Bill and Ted.
Meanwhile, Emma and Christy and Eleanor and myself have been contenting ourselves by looking a bit...
I didn't get to finish it. So let me just say quickly, and then we'll talk about this on another time, but I do appreciate how with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what they seem to be doing is expanding the possibilities of the universe that they are adapting, and I certainly think that is a great way to approach the form and the material. Now, Alex, you may have your show again.
That's quite all right. We've got 2.5 minutes left. I just want to say we've been watching Fuzz Aldrin on Facebook, and Emma, I mean, I think you have to say classic stuff.
Yeah, she's just such a beautiful cat.
She even thanks me in one stage for actually sharing a work of genius with him. It's the Henri Artiste, Henri the philosophical cat.
She's clearly very inspiring as well for other cats.
I think.
I hope so. Phil, I'd just like to... I also have a cat who has a science fiction, science-y-based name. Yeah. Oh. My cat is, like, called Moo Moo, but I call her Dr. Moo.
Nice.
Yeah.
We're just looking at Henri.
Is it an honorary doctorate, or...?
An honorary.
Yeah, honorary, exactly. Was it honorary, or...
She went to the University of Meow. Yeah, she's qualified.
Meow.
Not Meow Meow.
Is she one of the justified ancients of Meow Meow?
Possibly. She's qualified.
Oh, well, life continues. It's been a show which has taken us from Nashville, Cameron Tilbury, through to Sarah Scowen, from Return to the Forbidden Planet, over to Eden, Shane and Sheila Rimmer, Thunderbirds, of course, Anna Lewis, eventually almost getting run over in Jersey, and, of course, finally to Phil Linus in Jersey. We start off in Jersey.
In Jersey.
New Jersey. Jersey, New York. It's, no, of course, in Los Angeles. A rejoinder, of course, I forgot to mention Ringo Starr, who was a fourth member of the Beatles when we were sort of getting excited over Simon and Garfunkel earlier. So very important that was actually mentioned. Andy, have you enjoyed your first show on the Midweek Drive?
I haven't. It's been absolutely fantastic, Alex. Thanks very much.
And obviously, you're inviting us all in to free drinks at the fabulous World.
Free drinks, no, but the music is absolutely wonderful. The banter's 90, and you'll never find a more eclectic clientele anywhere in the UK.
At the Jolly Brewer, that would be, Phil. So when you're next in Lincoln, the Jolly Brewer is a place to be. Ellen, have you enjoyed the show?
I've had a fabulous time.
Emma?
I have very much enjoyed it.
Christy?
I will now be seeking medical attention.
In every sense of the word. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock UK time, 12 midnight Los Angeles time, we're live to Australia with Jane Chapman. Telephones, we're obviously working. Yes, it'll happen. Plus a whole heap of other things. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye!
Bye-bye!